don't do righteousness more than the one that God plans. No, as a matter of fact, I mean, there are people who just walk out of their marriages because somebody became a Christian. Yes, if a man says that this is what he wants to do, Paul said, in effect, his wife is not under bondage. All right, he said, but how do you know? Now, again, encouraging people, all right, not to be the one to depart. He says, so how do you know, oh wife, whether you will save your husband, or how do you know, oh husband, whether you will save your wife? All right. Now, that's the end of that, because verse 17 is starting to unwrap me. There was a question I asked earlier. I said I will answer, but let me just leave it for now. Not so it will just take a lot of our time. All right, that's talking about what if they are Christians and one person decides to leave. Okay? I have an answer for it, I do. Just I don't want to tackle it now. I can answer it another time. All right? I have a very good answer for it, which I believe is very scriptural. The thing we can easily... I find that this matter of marriage, we want to analyze it. Let's leave society first. Let's leave experiences. Let's sit down with what? The Word of God. And there are two people that spoke about it, talking about the issue of marriage and divorce. And those two, under Christianity, the laws of Christianity, the principles of Christianity, are just two people. That one, Jesus Christ, who spoke about how it was in the beginning and explained how which it should be. And then two, Paul. You combine the thing that the two of them said, I think every situation is analyzed and explained and answers will be found. If you combine the words of Jesus and combine the words of Paul, which I've just read there, we don't have any problem. The problem we have is that we want to modify them because of what seems good in the light of what the society thinks now. Or I want to, you know, use our experiences. Like I told you, if you go to America, you know, it's so easy. In fact, someone when I'm watching films those days, a man would tell the wife, the woman would tell, and the one I have in mind is a woman, told the husband, look, if you don't stop this your behavior, I'm leaving. You know, it's so, and it's acceptable. You go to church. I was watching one day on TV. Praise God. After I listened to pastor, I received the strength to leave my husband. I'm serious. I'm not joking. Don't think I'm joking. I have seen it. And then after I left, I found this man of God, and they were there, and the Lord has been blessing us all this while. He said, get one kind testimony. We're not supposed to share in public, even if it's the Lord that did it. All right, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. All right, so let's go on then. Verse 17. He said, but as the Lord has called each one, let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. That's New King James. So let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be free, that's the better thing. So rather use it. But don't let it be a concern. Running after the freedom, all right? He said, for he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's free man. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. He said, you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Now, there are things inside that statement which is a bit beyond our scope. I would love to discuss them. Now, let me stop this somewhere because my time is going very fast. All right. He said, brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. I'll continue from verse 25 next time. Let me just explain some things here and then we'll leave the matter for today. Now, there's something that Paul was explaining here. And there's a principle there where I want us to understand, because sometimes people ask, I was preaching once in Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International, and I was talking about wisdom for salvation, that any time that God wants to move you from one level to another, that new level is what you call salvation, and that there is what you do that God wants you to do that will now catapult into the next level. And somebody now said that, hey, what if you're believing God for something, or God has promised you something? Do you have to go and work out to make sure that thing happens? I guess he misunderstood what I was saying. Then I now explain this to him, that wait, one, with God, faith is work. That is, a man who's walking by faith is doing something very active as far as God is concerned. And that sometimes faith dictates that you do nothing. Therefore, doing nothing is an act redemptive process as far as God is concerned. Therefore, the wisdom for salvation, because I was quoting from 2 Timothy chapter 3, when he was saying that you have known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make you wise unto salvation, like the resulting in salvation. So I was saying that there's a wisdom. The wisdom is what to do. I said sometimes faith means that you do nothing. That is, what am I supposed to do? Do nothing. Do you get my point? That is, as far as God is concerned, doing nothing is active. In fact, I wrote an article about it more than 10 years ago, which I titled Active Wait and See. You know, which is quite an interesting expression in English. You say, wait and see is active. I said, no. In spiritual things, wait and see can be active. That is, spiritually, the man who is waiting and holding on to God is actually walking, is exerting more energy in God's presence than the man who's running up and down. Do you follow my point? Now, there's something that Paul was trying to explain here. So Paul was saying that people should not concern themselves that, look, I was a slave. Because then they had slaves. There are Christians who were slaves in homes. So you say, no, as a free man, I can do more work for God. So they start trying to scheme out so that they will become free. He said, don't bother yourself. That if God opens the door to be free, it's better to be a free person than to be a slave. But as long as you're a slave, don't worry yourself about that fact. So, and you've heard me say, that's what I was telling that man that day, and I've said in previous times, that sometimes when people believe God for prosperity, money, I'm talking financial prosperity, and they look, what do I do now? I am a primary school teacher. No, the kind of prosperity I'm looking for is not found in this kind of environment. Therefore, let me get up and go somewhere. I say, wait. No, Paul is saying, when did you believe God for prosperity? As a primary school teacher. Very fine. Then continue to teach primarily very well. Do you understand what I'm saying? And don't worry yourself about it. Now, like I was saying, if God opens the door to step out into bigger things, use it. He said, but don't worry yourself. I'm applying it. That what you will find is that in that place in which God called you with that vision of abundance, from there, he knows how to lift you from there into where you want to go. Because what people now do is that they now make the mistake. You know, they say, no. Great things don't, no, it can't happen like this. So now, you know, one day you resign by faith. You know, I resign by faith. And actually, that is resigning by foolishness. Yes. Listen, you cannot resign from where you are walking to where you are doing nothing. Amen. You can't. You can't. Did you hear what I said? You can't. He said, praise God, praise God. I feel this call of God. In fact, like I say, into ministry. Listen, this is what I have understood. You can't get up and say you are going into full-time ministry and you start full-time idleness. You understand what I'm saying? And before, you wake up in the morning, you go to work, you come home. You preach in the evening. I said, now I'm going into full-time ministry. You wake up next morning and you're still at home. Now, get what I'm saying. You used to preach only Monday evenings and Friday evenings, whatever. Then you entered into full-time ministry. You're still preaching Monday evenings and Friday evenings. Brethren, you know what you have entered? You have entered full-time idleness and part-time ministry. Yes, that is the way I have understood it. You cannot get... No, people do it. You say... I like one thing, Pastor Paul, you preached, which is exactly what I believe. That's why I was so excited when I heard him say it. Now, let me say it like this. In business, as an example, you can't get up. You can, all right? You can, and you can go and fail, all right? People can, you know what I'm saying? But it is not right for you to leave the place where you are, working right now in the same line of business, to say you want to go and pursue your own business when you have not made the other place prosper. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. I preached on radio then. That before Jacob could get up and say, I'm going to make an inheritance for myself, he made Laban prosper. Laban was afraid when Jacob was leaving. They ever look, where you? The day you say you are resigning, your boss said, at last, God, why did it take him so long to resign? And he says he wants to start his own business. Watch it. Pastor Banky said, forget. All the first few years is his colossal failing experience. He will learn from it, though. He will learn from it. Do you follow my point? Most people who have left one place and gone to another, go and check. When they left, the people knew they left. Not because you sit down and say, this is my boss just making money from this thing. Let me go and do my own. If your boss won't notice you are leaving, you can't do it. Did you hear what I said? If your boss will not notice that you are leaving, then you can't do it. If you could do it, he will notice you are leaving. I mean, that's why you find out, I don't know whether this is good or bad, but you find out pastors who leave one church to go and plant another church. The ones that the church grows very fast, that is, when they are leaving, the other pastor is afraid. The senior pastor is afraid because, you get what I'm saying. When he was there, his effect was felt. Not that's why a man cannot just leave because he's angry. The way they are treating him in this church, y'all get up and go, I'll go across. The same brethren who were greeting him very well and calling him pastor of the previous church, you won't know he's out of court. They say, oh, we heard you are, okay, God bless you. None of them will show up. Not one. You were deceiving. No, I'm serious. I'm very serious about that. All right? No, that is something, Christians should understand. I like one thing that, what I said, Pastor Kodjo said, which interested me then, he said, the business you couldn't do part-time when you were working somewhere else and succeed in it, doing it full-time will not make you succeed. Do you follow what I'm saying? Let me explain. For example, now, I teach in a university and I consult in a hospital. And someone now tells me that the reason why Kingdom of Ministry is not doing very well is because you are not doing it full-time. It's a lie. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. It's a lie. What you should notice is, like, for example, I didn't realize how tired I was this morning until I got to class and I wanted to give a lecture. And my brain was misbehaving. In fact, after some time, I sat down and started telling stories, me and the students. I know me, I don't deceive myself. And I don't deceive other people. I don't know, guys, I've not rested much in the last many days. Therefore, right now, I can't think straight. I told them simply, so let's just gist small. So we gist. The gist was interesting. Then I'll teach small. Then we gist small. Then I teach small. Then as soon as Yinka came back with my car, I said, guys, so my car has come back. I will see you. I jumped inside the car. The time was up anyway. I told them simply. What I'm trying to say is this. Now, the work of Kingdom of Ministry is telling. Do you understand my point? It's pulling on me. So if an artist said, okay, let me go and do it full, what we call full time, then you can understand. Not as if we didn't go to Barclay to do seminar. I come here on Monday, nobody's listening. Radio, nobody tunes in. And I say, the reason, do you understand my point? The reason is because nobody's buying the book we are writing is because we're not giving it enough time. Listen, my brethren, it is a lie. Do you get the point? No, but I say this all the time because I don't like what people call full-time ministry, which I see only as full-time idleness. And I say, well, what you're doing, that you are praying during the day. I mean, I don't even believe it because the amount of prayer you need. Are you going to save the whole world like somebody said? Said, oh, we need the time to pray. I don't believe some of those things. We're trying to fill up available time. Do you follow my point? Please, I hope you get what I'm saying. We're trying to put in a balance. So Paul was saying there, he said that if you were called in a particular situation, that don't be in a hurry. That's what he was saying. To depart. Don't put yourself under pressure. Saying that, no, the manifestation of God is not coming because I'm still asleep. Do you get my point? The reason why I have not prospered is because I am still working here. No, see, the thing is that, what Pastor Paul was saying that time, he said, look, I wish that I preach actually that, if there's a ministry calling, you just have to be church ministry, preaching ministry. There's a calling in any field of life for you, and you've had it while you were in university or after you left university, you're working somewhere. Just give yourself time in the evenings to start doing it. You follow what I'm saying? If you like to, I'll tell you something in a moment. If you like to play music, you don't run away from what you're doing to go and play music. Caruso Studio is opening in the evenings. Do you follow my point? So, weekends, go there and go and do music. The other day, I was with this guy in the bank, and there was some music I was playing on his computer. And I said, who's that? I said, oh, God, now maybe that too. I said, You sing? I said, I do. He said, he goes to Lagos, periodically, to go and do his recording. He works in the bank here. He now said, oh, God, and now would they take job before GTV give us work? And this one would take job. I said, so what's happening now? You don't leave her. He said, no, you never leave her. That this album is going to come out. So, these are the works he had done. He was playing it on the computer, you know, enjoying it. I said, oh, now you do that. He said, okay, now you would take job before GTV give us work. Now, do you follow? I don't know whether you get the concept, what I'm trying to do. Yeah. A lot of people make that mistake. Just jump out. I like the way, Pastor, what you said it, and this is exactly the way I preach it also. But just like the way he said it, what you do is, do that in the evenings and let the pressure of that one pull you out of the other one. I don't believe you get up and jump into idleness. That's the one me I can't stand. I can't stand it. No. Don't jump up into idleness. No. Let it become obvious that, I get to go. You follow what I mean? Uh-huh. Jacob could pastor his own flock. You know what I mean? His sheep. When he had pastored the sheep of Laban, he knew he could do it. I say people all the time, well, I said it already then, creating the opportunity for prosperity. I said, go and use that skill for somebody else first. If you are learning how to develop website, you waste derelict money learning it. Do you get what I'm saying? He will get the client. If you make mistake, the client won't hang him. He will hang derelict. So you go say, oh, God, no vex. Yes, you have, you sit down there. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. Yes, you sit down there, you keep working. At the end of the month, he pays you a wage. It's not fantastic, doesn't matter. But at least, you have the time to see, okay, how do we pay people, you know? You are learning the ropes here and there while you are blessing them. The day you know you are ripe to go is when you hint that you want to leave. And Chike comes to the office and says, sit down. Is it the money? Is it too small? Should I increase it? And then you know you should go. That time, just, okay, don't worry about increasing it. I'm going. He said, come now, let us talk. Okay, all right. When you are leaving, we'll give you a contract appointment. They know that, I have prospered. I have prospered. This one, I can do it. This one, I can do it. But the one that you go and say, you are going. All right, God be with you now. Then they say, okay, now they go again. I think yesterday, I ate too much. I changed my mind. I know they go again. No, you know, we all of us here, philadelphia. He said, when he left Philip's consulting, it was an issue. This man is leaving. He was working for Philip's consulting. There was another place. I don't know whether it's Philip's consulting or somewhere else, where he first moved to. He moved one job first. And that when the boss called the former boss and said, please, so this young man, he worked for you. What do you think? He said, that one shouted, said, whatever he asks for, give him. Don't let him go. So when you hear stories that he said that the first day, because he was living in a one-room apartment, the room was the office. Now, you don't get what I'm pointing. In the morning, they quickly fold mattresses, move mattresses, hide in corners, and put out tables. No, I'm serious. And they sit down. Now, office. For night, they move tables on one side, drop mattresses. Now, room. So when you hear that story, you know, you don't hear the other side. That before I left, the orgasm were wondering, why are you going? I had made Laban prosper. So we heard that 2.5 million naira to talk for 45 minutes. I like one thing you said on Sunday. He said, don't go and sit down there and be reciting for if because somebody said they paid him a million naira. If it is not your area, don't just worry yourself. It will not help you. Because people just want to hear that one. One young man asked me a question once. He said, yeah, what? You know, I like speaking. He said, no, I know how to speak. How do I make people want to hear me? I said, listen, my friend, it's you that thinks you know how to speak. And I told him straight. I said, it's your opinion that you know how to speak. How you will know you know how to speak is when people want to hear you. It's not as if I know how to speak. How do I make them want to hear me? I said, what should you do? Go and make sure you have something to say. And don't worry about making people want to hear you. When you have something to say, people will want to hear you. So what should you do? Buy books. Read them. When other people who know how to speak are talking, you listen. Not get up and say, you should give me time. Let me say what I have to say. All of you move back. You'll be surprised. I didn't know why. I know how to talk. Listen. No, I'm happy. Look, if teach these things to people. These are the mistakes people make in life. Just look and say, this man is making money from this thing. Me too, I can do it. Don't try. Go and do it. Go and meet him. Say, oh, God, this thing you are doing, can I help you with it? Be willing to help him for some time. Leave only when it becomes obvious that when you are leaving, he will notice. Because that is proof to you that you can do it. All this one that I can do it is what you think. You are getting what I'm saying. Is what you think. Do you know, I know I'm gisting, but you learn a thing or two. You know, a lot of novelists, you know, maybe you see Jeffrey Archer is writing. When they have become big, some of the books they don't write. You don't know. Somebody will write a story and say, you know, I'm nobody. Nobody wants to listen to me. Nobody wants to read. We're going to grab Jeffrey Archer. Say, Oga, let me sell you this story. The Raja will say, okay, come back. He will read the story. If he likes it, he buys it. Don't try to write your own Jeffrey Archer book until the real Jeffrey Archer has bought one from you. But that's why you know that you can write. No, you think, at the point in time, the names are brands. So different people sit down, research for them, put everything together. They will now put the finished volume, give it to the man's hands. He will read through it, say, this is a good story. Let me now give it the Jeffrey Archer touch. He will go through it, adjust. Then you hear Jeffrey Archer release a new book. For where? A young man released a new book using the name Jeffrey Archer. When I was younger, I used to read James Allen Chase. Towards the end, the latest ones we read then, I said to myself, this was not written by Chase. I remember the one particular one, hit them where it hurts. I said, this is not a James Allen Chase. Someone told me that, no, that the man don't retire, that this is just the brand they are now selling. I said, hey, it's a detective story, but it didn't have that flavor. James Allen Chase had a cheesy, you know, flavor. I said, this will not get out. That's when I landed that, the man don't stop the write. All the boys now write. So they will read through your story, and then if it's good enough, if the real man sees it, say, oh, this is a good story, then you know you can write. You get what I'm saying? The Bible says, let another praise you, not your own mouth. Yes, that's what the Bible says. All right, I've just read that one to just explain what Paul was saying about don't be in a hurry to leave the place in which God called you. God can take a primary school person there that's having dreams of employing multitudes and becoming a multi-millionaire. God can take that person and make him anything. But he will make a mistake thinking that the first thing I must do is to leave this place. After they anointed David as a king, where did he go back to? To the sheep. People without understanding will say, now I've been appointed king. So in Papa go say, David! He said, Daddy, when you are calling kings, you're supposed to be careful. You know that one? He will never make it to the throne. Now listen, the fact that God anointed somebody king doesn't mean he'll make it to the throne. I hope you know that. I think we've discussed enough for you to know that. The fact that God appointed you king does not guarantee you get to the throne. God sent Moses. He himself tried to kill him. You know, it happens. So David woke up and said, Papa, wait, come first. Did you say David or King David? Please, you were there when I was anointed. I demand some respect in this house. You people didn't honor me before. God has shown you now how important I am. You are still doing all of this. The guy will never, Goliath will have beheaded him. I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying. When the guy finished, he carried him bag and baggage. Thank you, sir. You say I'm now king. Yes, sir. And you now go back to the sheep. Oh, boy, sheep. You are now being pastored by a king. I hope you know. It's the sheep you'll be discussing with. All of you sit down. Let me tell you kingly stories. You'll be discussing with this sheep. The same thing he was doing before. He's with the sheep. He's not. He's from there. Father will now call him and say, oh, boy, come. Shepherd, come here. Yes, sir. Go and give your brothers this for me in the battlefront. Thank you, sir. You know, I said on radio once, they say, if you want to be a millionaire, think like a millionaire. But Jesus said, if you want to be a millionaire, think like a servant. So if you want to be a king, think like a servant. The guy collected the servantly activities and went to the battlefront. Along the line, he saw Goliath. You know the story now. Goliath was misbehaving. He said, this one, he is not even as dangerous as the bear I fought. Let me kill him for you people now. No, that, you know that's it. That was it. And his path to the throne did not pass through Pharaoh's Saul's palace, really. When he entered Saul's palace, they drove him out. He didn't enter Saul's palace, you know, because he was anointed as king. He entered Saul's palace because he could play music. After he killed Goliath, who remembered him? They hailed him, and sent him back home to go and shepherd sheep. Saul was misbehaving. They said, what can we do? There's a boy. He can play instruments. That's how they called him, because no, David, when you hear the sounds of David, you forget his fame, all right, and fortune for being a warrior and a king has made us forget that he was first a musician. Yeah, you know that's what he used to do. He entered Saul's palace to play music so as to cool the man down when his madness would come upon him. Now, you are getting what I'm saying. That is, he was abiding as a shepherd still. Then God lifted him until he became the king. That's what Paul was saying. No, God has anointed you, we know. He said, but relax. Like they say, kulu temper. Just chill. God will open the door. He will lead you through his own path, and you will get to the throne. I hope we've discussed some things and you have learned something today. All right, let us pray. Let's just give the Lord thanks once again for his goodness. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The Lord is good.